Thank you, Molly, Cindy, and Janet, for your ministry of music. This morning, we've been going through the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis this morning, Genesis chapter 11. The selfie. I don't know if you know about the selfie. Take a selfie this morning. Oh, got to turn it around. There, got my selfie. Taking a picture of yourself with your camera. Sometimes you do it with others. Ready, Jack? Yeah, we broke it, he says. The selfie. Taking the picture of yourself. We've become very self-focused. I was parked. I pulled up to a stoplight one day, and there was a lane next to me, and a girl pulled up. It was interesting. As soon as she stopped, she had her camera there, and she was like, like she was trying to get the perfect selfie of herself. Maybe you've seen people do this. But the whole time we were there, stopped at the light, it was this. She was trying to get the perfect selfie. I don't know why, but I don't think she ever actually got it. Because when the light turned green, we both took off, and she was still trying to do that last time I saw her. But we become very self-focused. Culture from the time of the fall in Adam and Eve, when God came down and said, Adam, Eve, where are you? They had sinned at that point, and they'd already begun to work that selfish nature into their lives. Even the temptation of Satan to Eve was, you will become like God. That was their desire. The desire of Eve's heart when she bit into that fruit was she wanted to be like God, and that's the selfishness. We've talked about the flood and God destroying all life on earth except for Noah, his family, and two of every kind of animals. But that didn't alleviate sin. That didn't take away the selfishness. It's still there. The selfishness that's in our lives causes us to want to serve ourselves and our own interests rather than obeying God and striving for His purposes. If you haven't opened your Bible yet this morning, open to Genesis chapter 11. Open to Genesis chapter 11. We'll start at verse 1 and read through verse 9. We're going to see the selfishness demonstrated in our text this morning. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words, and as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down, and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. The earth is beginning to be repopulated at this point. Noah and his family are repopulating the earth. They're growing. They're doing what God commanded. They're beginning to build cities and buildings, which does not go against God's command at all. That's good for them to begin to be industrious, for them to begin to develop some of these skills to make bricks and mortar and build these buildings. None of that is bad. They're beginning to fulfill the command that God gave them to be fruitful and multiply, but there's just one problem. Look with me at verse 4. They said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." God's command was to fill the earth. They decided they didn't want to do that. They wanted to settle in one city and all just be together and have one big happy family. So they're going against God's command here. The problem is not that they're building a tower. The problem is they're not settling in a city. The problem is that they're deciding what is right in their own eyes. They want to make a name for themselves. They want to make that name great. They were choosing to be completely defiant of God's command to fill the earth. God chooses in this text to intervene. Sometimes there's humor in God's text. The people are building a tower up into the heavens. And it says that God had to come down to see it. There's humor there. We're going to get so high, we're going to have it as high as God. And God has to come down to see this high tower. There's humor there, but God makes a decision that the people are not going to obey him. If they're not going to obey me, I'm going to do something that's going to make them obey me. And what he did was he confused their language and spread them all over the face of the earth. It was just Noah and his family. They all spoke the same language, and they had relatives, and they had relatives, and they had relatives, and there wasn't a new language. There was just one. And then God confused their languages. All of a sudden, you heard me talking before, but now I'm speaking. You're like, what? That doesn't make any sense. All of a sudden, God made new languages and dispersed them all over. This morning, we're going to talk about two different kingdoms. We build these kingdoms every day. The first kingdom is the kingdom of self. If you have your notes, you can write in there, the kingdom of self. We build the kingdom of self, and somebody asked if we got a UPS shipment today or a FedEx shipment. We did not. We build the kingdom of self, and we start with me. It's me. It's my house. It's my car. You can probably see where this is going. It's my money. It's my, what do we say? It's my life. I'll do whatever I want to do. This is just centered on self. It's all about me, myself. If we have talents, gifts, and abilities that we've been given, we use them for me and for my gain and to make me look great. I use my time for me because it's my time. I can do with my time what I want to do. And they're my beliefs. They're my beliefs. I don't have to believe what anybody else believes because they're mine. And in the end, I've built the tower of me. the tower of me. It's all about me. I'm not going to live my life for anyone else. It's pretty clear in Genesis chapter 11, they were focused on the tower of me. Now, they were collectively focused on the tower of me. We're going to make a name for ourselves, plural. More of them than one, but they were focused on themselves. They wanted to be remembered. They were trying to lift themselves up by building a tower to be like God. They had one common goal, and that was to make themselves great. These are my bricks, this is my mortar, this is my city, and it's going to be my tower. The kingdom of me. There's a little caveat in this text that I want to just touch on briefly here, and it's that just because society decides something is right doesn't mean it's right in God's eyes. Just because all of culture says, let's make this about us, doesn't mean that it's okay with God. What happened here? They said, okay, let's build a tower. Let's make our name great. God said, that's not my plan for your life. So he confuses their language. He confuses their voices, and they get dispersed over all the world. But our culture says the same thing. Our culture says it's all about you, whatever you want. Whatever gender you want to choose, that's okay, is what our culture says. Whatever sexuality you want, that's okay, is what our culture says. If you want to allow the infant living inside of you to die, that's okay, because it's all up to you. It's all up to me. I can do what I want. It's my body. But God says, no, that's not right. Now, we're not going to dive into that this morning because it's not specifically there, but I wanted to give you that caveat that just because something is right in culture, just because a group of people say, yeah, that's great, that's, you can do that, doesn't make it right in God's eyes. So in Genesis chapter 11, we have this kingdom, this I, self, and me kingdom where they're just focused on themselves. Do you find that sometimes you're focused on yourself? I know I am. I find myself sometimes thinking about my possessions. Well, what if that happened to it? Oh, I don't want to lose that. Oh, I don't want this. It's mine. It's mine. Oh, mine. Quote Gollum. My precious. But is that how we're supposed to be in our lives? No. I want to be popular. I want to look nice. Maybe you say, I want to live for myself. It's this struggle in humanity. It's the desire to lift ourselves up. But God says, I'm going to knock it down. I'm going to destroy that tower because it's not living for me. We're going to a different text this morning, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, Jesus has left the earth. He's promised the Holy Spirit to come. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says this, When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together. They being the disciples of Jesus Christ were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. You remember the wind from last week? The wind that comes in the redemption because Jesus blows the wind and it clears up all of the water, just like Jesus blew the wind for Moses as they were getting ready to cross the sea. Just like God blew the wind over all of creation to create it, there began this sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire. I can't imagine seeing this. It would just freak me out. As a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 5, now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? We come to the book of Acts, and all of Jesus' disciples are gathered in one place. All of a sudden, instead of dividing languages, separating languages, we see languages for the works of God coming back together. God allows them to speak in other languages. Greek was kind of the common tongue of the day. It was the language of the trades. So if you got together with somebody and you were talking business, you would know how to speak Greek. So many of them in that area would have spoken Greek. So they could have just spoken Greek and gotten to all of them, but that wasn't God's plan. He wanted something special to happen, so he sent the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit's divine power, all of a sudden they were able to speak in other tongues, it said. And this wasn't some divine language. This was language of the people. All of a sudden, the people are all of a sudden hearing them. Romans are hearing them in their native tongue. And there's a whole list of names there that I'm not going back through because they're hard to pronounce. They're all hearing them in their own dialects, their own language. And God is building something much greater. See, the book of Acts tells us about a second kingdom that we can build, and that's the kingdom of God. The second kingdom is the kingdom of God. Peter, from the point that we stop pretty much all the way to the end, is preaching a message. They think that all the disciples are drunk. That's verse 13. They hear this kind of languages and stuff going on, they go, what's going on? Are these people drunk? And Peter stands up and he says, no, they're not drunk. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ. And he gives the whole sermon, and it's probably shorter than the sermon I'm going to give today. He gives this message, and at the end in verse 41, it says that there was an altar call, right? Not exactly, but it says, so those who received his word, there were some that raised their hands and said, yes, I want to believe in Jesus Christ. I want to be baptized. And there were added to that day about 3,000 souls. Wow. What a response. 3,000 people because of the Holy Spirit's working, because of them hearing the works of God preached in their own language because of what Peter told them, the kingdom of God begins to get built. Let me show you the difference between the two kingdoms. The kingdom of God cornerstone is Jesus Christ. Instead of my house, it's God's house. Instead of my car, it's God's car. Instead of my money, this is a hard one sometimes, it's God's money. Now I have to figure out where I went from here. I think it's this one. Instead of my life, it's now God's life. Instead of it being about self, it's about God. It's centered on God, centered on God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Nope, not the right one. This one over here. Gifts and abilities. Instead of my gifts and abilities and using them to benefit me, it's the same thing. But we use them to benefit God, both inside and outside his church. We use our talents, our gifts, and our abilities. Rather than being my time and it all about me, it's God's time. And rather than it being my beliefs, it's his truth. Rather than being the I nature, it's all about his kingdom. It's all about growing God's kingdom. The goal is no longer our own self-satisfaction. The goal is no longer our own glorification, but now our goal is God's glorification. God put the kingdom of me to death because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. But did it die ultimately and for all time? No, that kingdom of me keeps trying to come back on a daily basis. Jack was up here talking about how sometimes we mess up, sometimes we want to go hide. Man, that happens. As an adult, that happens, right, Jack? You're not done with that as a kid. You're not done making stupid mistakes as a kid. It just keeps happening. You just learn how to better cover them up as an adult, right? So the kingdom of me keeps coming back, keeps trying to say, oh, you want to do this for you? You want to make yourself better? You want to make yourself known? You want to do this because it's going to make you a better you? Get that message a lot. And instead, we're supposed to be doing everything for God's kingdom and God's glory. There's two questions I have for us this morning. The root of all of this starts in our heart. The root of what type of kingdom you're going to build, whether you're going to build a kingdom of me or a kingdom of God, starts in our heart. So who does your heart belong to? Does your heart belong to you or to God? If your heart has never belonged to God, all you've probably done is lived for yourself. Because you didn't realize there was another way. You didn't realize there was another kingdom you could build other than the one for yourself. But his word tells us that we can build God's kingdom as well. And it's a lifelong process of tearing down the pieces of our kingdom. One pops up, and, oh man, I don't want to do that. So you have to tear that part down and build it up with God's kingdom. But it's a lifelong process because the kingdom of me keeps coming back, keeps trying to take back over. So the first question is, does your heart belong to you or to God? The second question is this, which kingdom are you building? Are you building the kingdom of me or the kingdom of God? Are you wanting to make your own name great? Make yourself popular? Or are you trying to make God's name great?
great?
Are you trying to, as the book of Acts told us, they were proclaiming the works of God? Are you trying to proclaim God's works instead? So let's get practical. That's great. Build the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of me. So what does that look like on Monday? What does that look like when we walk through those doors this afternoon? Because God's word is meant to be applied. God's word is to be taken. So it means that we're going to serve others and not ourselves. It means some of these things, like our time, our talents, gifts and abilities, maybe even our house, our car, or our money, are going to be used for God rather than for ourselves. Maybe it means giving God your time rather than Netflix your time. Ouch! Did you have to go there, Roger? Did you have to say that? That's my downtime. That's how I relax. I'm not saying you can never watch Netflix again. But if that's what you spend all your time doing and you're not spending time in God's word, not spending time praying, not spending time building your relationship with Him, do you have a relationship with Him? I told you I was going to get practical. Maybe it means sacrificing something for God. That's going to depend on what He asks you to sacrifice. Maybe it's money. Maybe God's going to ask you to sacrifice money. You could walk out those doors and there could be somebody standing there who needs money for something. I don't know what God has planned. I've driven up and down 19 and around, and I see people stopped on the side of the road sometimes, and I'll just stop and try to help because I believe that's being in God's time, using talents, gifts, and abilities, using what He's given me, a car. Sometimes somebody needs a ride. I was on 30 once, and a guy was walking down the road in the rain, and I went, that's not right. Turned around and went back. Do you need a ride somewhere? Yeah, I need a ride to Plymouth. Well, that wasn't where I was going. I was going home. Plymouth is not home. It's farther. But I said, hey, get in. I'll take you. We started talking. Told him who I was. Told him what I did. All of a sudden, the conversation changes because of what I do and who I am. And so it's about this. It's not about giving a guy a ride. But it's using what God gives you for others. Maybe it means praying for others faithfully. We pray through a list of people every Sunday. You can pray for those on Monday. You can pray for those on Tuesday. You can pray for those on Wednesday. You can pray for those on Thursday. You can pray for those on Friday. You can pray for those on Saturday. You can pray for them twice on Sunday. Because God has put those people on our hearts, put those people in our lives, and it's to build His kingdom. Maybe some of you have family members or friends that don't know who God is, don't know about Jesus Christ. Do you faithfully pray for them? Do you faithfully pray that they would come to know who Jesus is? Sometimes it means placing family's needs over your own. Sometimes it means when you come home as a parent, as a dad, you don't get to just come home, sit down, put your feet up, and relax. Sometimes that's what I want to do when I get home. I want to flip on Netflix. But when I get home, there's kids and there's stuff they've gotten out and there's stuff, and Stacy might not be in the best mind because she's been putting up with the kids all day, running around and doing things and fighting with each other. And so I have to go, God, what should I do here? Stacy, what do you need right now? And what is that? Putting your family above yourself. Now, that's not always the right response. That's not the response I always do. Sometimes I go home and I want to be selfish. And then there's conflict. Then I realize I'm wrong and she's right. And I say sorry to Stacy, and I say sorry to God because I'm being selfish. I'm not working for God's kingdom. I'm working for the kingdom of me. So who does your heart belong to, and what kingdom are you building? Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, may your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May you rule and reign in our hearts. May you rule and reign in our hearts first, so that we can live to give you honor and glory and praise with all that you give to us. Thank you for delivering us from the domain of darkness and transferring us to the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ. May we live lives that bring honor to how you have redeemed us. Help us to put off our selfish me attitudes. The Bible says, throw them off like a weight that so easily entangles, so that we can run with perseverance the race before us, that we would proclaim you as our King and be delighted to use all that you have loaned to us to make your name great. It is the name of Jesus Christ, our King, we pray these things. Amen.